Blog Talk Radio.
It's relationship radio time. I'm Annaloy Zell, your host and relationship coach. I'm better known as the Marriage Rescuer. For more information about me and our programs, please visit our website at rescuemymarriagenow.com, where there is tons of free information you can utilize right away to make powerful progress to improve your marriage. I am delighted and honored that you chose to tune in today, because today I'll be talking about 10 barriers to communication in marriage and how to break them. Now, before I get into that, for my first-time listeners, I want to let you know that I approach marriage issues differently. For me, it's about finally answering the question, how do we save marriages? And I believe that the way we think about marriage, what it is, and how to improve it must be radically altered. And we can no longer be satisfied with the way things are being done. Progress is being lost in counseling sessions and therapy sessions that have a 75% failure rate. That's a really troubling rate of failure and something that I think all of us should pay close attention to. My belief is that there is a misunderstanding about how people grow and change, and if we clear this up, then people can begin enjoying long-lasting and happy marriages. Now, because of the marriage counseling failure rate, I have been determined to create something new, something far more effective than marriage counseling for restoring the intimacy, passion, and peace in a marriage. So I have spent 5 years looking at our emotions and how the brain plays a big part of this. Out of my research, I've designed a marriage program that works with how human beings learn and change. It's a real solution for real people with stressed marriages who want something better. And this is also why I've been able to help 85% of the couples that work with me restore their marriages. Now, you can learn more about my mission to save marriages at our website at rescuemymarriagenow.com. So let me share with you some of this powerful brain-mind stuff and how it works when it comes to overcoming marriage obstacles. So again, today's topic is 10 barriers to communication in marriage and how to break them. I want to start out with a poem. I feel so sentenced by your words. I feel so judged and sent away. Before I go, I've got to know, is that what you mean to say? Before I rise to my defense, before I speak in hurt or fear, before I build that wall of words, tell me, did I really hear? Words are windows or they're walls. They sentence us or set us free. When I speak and when I hear, let the love light shine through me. There are things I need to say, things that mean so much to me. In my words, don't make me clear. Excuse me, if my words don't make me clear, will you help me to be free? If I seem to put you down, if you felt I didn't care, try to listen through my words to the feelings that we share. I think that poem says a lot about barriers to communication. So let me ask you this. What is the link between the following scenarios? One, your partner leaves the room in anger after another argument. Two, your spouse lashes out at you despite you having done nothing wrong. Three, your husband or wife's constant lateness makes you frustrated and causes you to yell things you later regret. Well, situations like the one above are all have a common thread that play out in your life. There's a better way to handle the situation, but you can't figure it out. Your emotions get the better of you and others as you poorly handle the situation. too often in our communication with others, we find ourselves building walls instead of windows, barriers instead of bridges. Now, of course, we rarely do this on purpose. In fact, it is so ingrained in the way we've been trained to think that most people can't recognize it even when it's right in front of them. Our ability to succeed at a loving, happy, peaceful, connecting marriage will be directly related to how well we can adapt window bridge building strategies rather than barrier wall building ones. Now, the commonality of the situations mentioned earlier and other situations you experience in your marriage is you and your spouse's desperation to be understood. Your angry partner wants to be understood, and they will actually have almost zero frustrations once they are understood. The need to be understood is possibly the greatest unmet human need. Fulfill this need, and you will have new experiences, intimate sharing, and will be able to connect with people. You see, this is how I see it. Most people are walking around umbilical cord in their hand, looking for a new place to plug it in. And if you can be that socket by understanding the person and empathetically receiving their needs, you automatically share an electrifying connection with that person. Something about the person will change before your eyes. I have seen it done time and time again. They will know something deep is going on without knowing what you're doing. Now, unfortunately, the majority of people never arrive at this stage of electrifying intimacy. I want you to answer this question truthfully. How many people truly understand you on a frequent basis? Think about the question for some time. I ask this not to make you blame others for their failure to understand you, but to show you the scarcity of people who seek to understand. I believe your ability to actively listen and be in the present moment without polluting the person's message with your thoughts and feelings is one of the greatest communication skills you can obtain. There's also tons of research done by neuroscientists to show that when we actually understand someone, we calm the brain. And I'm going to teach more about that next week. But first, I want to give you some common examples of how people fail to observe by applying the 12 communication barriers. So they fail to observe, they fail to listen, and instead, they apply these 12 communication barriers. Now, the first part of the dialogue is going to be person one, okay, so when I'm reading these. Well, the second part is person two who uses the communication barrier. Okay, so let's get started. Number one barrier, criticism. I'm trying to improve my skills in that area. Good, because you've really sucked at it recently. Again, remember, the first part of the dialogue is person one, while the second part is person two who uses the communication barrier. So the first one is criticism. I'm trying to improve my skills in this area. The person using criticism, using the communication barrier of criticism, says, good, because you've really fucked at it recently. Number two, labeling. I wish you would do housework more often. Person using the barrier of labeling would say or could say, you're just a nagger. Three, diagnosing. I don't want to go out right now. communication use of diagnosing could sound like, you're just saying that because you're mad about last night. 4, ordering. I need a break from working. Communication barrier ordering might sound like, it doesn't matter. Do what I told you to do now. 5, communication barrier is threatening. I need a break from working. And it could be the same thing. It doesn't matter. Do what I told you to do now or I'll make you do more. It's a little bit different than ordering, but I'll make you do more. Threatening could also be, I need a break from all the fighting. Stay here and talk to me. Well, I'll never have anything to do with you. I'll get a divorce. I'll leave you. Barrier to connection and communication number 6 is questioning. I'm feeling depressed about what happened today. And the person using the barrier of questioning might say, you're depressed again? Barrier number 7 is moralizing. I don't want to donate to charity. And the response could be, if they were using the moralizing barrier, could be, it'll be good for you to help out. Number 8, communication barriers, advising. I can't believe my friendship has ended with Jenny. And if someone was using the barrier of advising, they might say, you shouldn't have talked with her about Bob the other day. Barrier number 9 is reassuring. I'm worried about performing well at the presentation tomorrow. If someone was using the barrier of reassuring, it might sound like, you've got great skills and will perform just fine. Barrier number 10 is deflecting. Arg, I can't believe Jerry always is bugging me. Now, if someone was using the barrier of deflecting, it may sound like this. Oh, yeah. Speaking of people bugging me, his friend John annoyed me the other day. Each time the second person judged and evaluated when he or she had the chance to provide healthy empathy. We all hate being judged, evaluated, and told what to do. And in response to these barriers, we become defensive, argumentative, frustrated, and resistant. It can be overwhelming now to hear about these communication barriers because you may have recognized that you actually do some of these. Now, in these frequent problems, in these frequent barriers, rests enormous potential and opportunity to be a powerful communicator and have the marriage that you want. But you've got to see your barriers in communication. My suggestion is that you listen back of the replay of today's show and listen to see which barriers you use. Is criticism, labeling, diagnosing, ordering, threatening, questioning, moralizing, advising, reassuring, and deflecting. All of these will push your partner away. They will not bring them closer. So instead of using these barriers, you want to do something called empathetic listening. Empathetic listening is a mixture of communication skills and awareness to use when you genuinely want to connect, when you want your partner to see you, hear you, understand you. You can use it to applaud someone's victory or to help uncover what's really troubling your spouse. The result is often a much, much deeper sense of connection, release, and joy. Let me ask you, have you ever been really excited about something and felt disappointed with the response you received? Let me give you an example. You might say, "Hey, I just paid off my student loan." Perhaps your spouse offers a flippant reply like, "Big deal. You'll be back in debt someplace else in no time." Or maybe in a misguided attempt to celebrate you, they might unconsciously divert the subject to themselves with something like this, like, "Congratulations, I did that 2 years ago." Now, with empathy, however, because the focus stays on the speaker, your spouse's response would be, something more like this, like, "Wow, I bet that's a big relief." And then you might feel encouraged to continue. "Yeah, sometimes I thought I was drowning in that student debt." An empathetic listener will stay with you as long as they honestly can until the conversation seems complete. Pretty discouraged at times. "I've imagined you've been wishing for a fresh start." You might reply, "Exactly. I need to be contributing to our savings money instead of living on the edge." The listener may confirm, "I guess what you'd really like is greater financial security." Precisely. Can you feel the difference? With the focus consciously on the speaker, both people have a deeper, more meaningful experience. It becomes a mutual exploration. It is done with someone, not to them. When we agree silently or verbally to be a listener, it's a serious agreement. We're being entrusted with someone's vulnerability. Often, however, right in the middle of listening, we get an overwhelming temptation to interrupt. Inadvertently, we're asking the speaker to focus back on us. It seems justified, though, because we're convinced the information is valuable and we will be helpful. But this will backfire. It is a barrier to communication. Remember, it's a barrier to communication, it's a barrier to connection. None of us like to be told what to do. None of us like to be judged, to be told that we're wrong. So again, think about when you're listening to your spouse. Are you really listening to them, or are you getting activated by your own thoughts and interpretations? And then you start to criticize them or label them or diagnose them or order them or threaten them or question them or moralize or advise, or maybe you try to reassure or deflect. Really important to understand that we want to build bridges in our communication, not walls. So I really hope you found today's show helpful. Now, I want you to tune in next week when I talk about what those 10 communication barriers actually do to our brain and the brain of our spouse. You're going to be really shocked at how much you are not only just because you're like, "Oh yeah, we don't like that communication. We don't like that when somebody judges us or tells us what to do," but you need to understand what's actually happening in the brain and how you're setting up a dynamic that will never, ever work. You'll never be heard. You'll never be understood. Now, in the meantime, I want you to be sure to visit our website at rescuemymarriagenow.com. There's lots of free brain-based marriage information available there to help you create the marriage you really want. So I want to thank you again for listening.